The Drive on TSN 1200, AJ Jakubik, Graham Creech, and Cam Clement. Here's what you need to know today. Tom Brady is retiring. His NFL career looks like it's over. He's done this before, but he says for real now, after a career that earned him 7 Super Bowl titles. Meantime, John Herdman has reaffirmed his commitment to Canada. There were reports that he was leaving to take the New Zealand job, but Canada Soccer saying he's got a contract through 2026 that they're all committed to, and Herdman saying he's not going anywhere. So that scare seemingly over for the time being. NHLPA looking for a new executive director, and it could be U.S. Secretary of Labor Marty Walsh. He's believed to be the leading candidate, according to our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. Some other news, the Edmonton Elks have signed former Saskatchewan Roughrider defensive lineman A.C. Leonard, a former Red Black as well. And Connor Bedard continues to make the rounds. Over 19,000 in Calgary tonight to watch him play as Regina takes on the Calgary Hitmen. They had a record crowd last night in Red Beer to see him play. And that is what you need to know today. A couple more Sens things I want to hit on, just the moves. And we heard from Troy Mann today from the Belleville Senators, who tweeted some stuff out from him. But Ridly Greig is going to practice down in Belleville. He's not going to play. Mark Kastlik also down there, and Mads Sogard as well. So what do you make of the fact that Mark Kastlik is back down there dealing with an injury, but it sounds like he could be down for a little bit longer? And Ridly Greig just basically going to skate during the All-Star break, and he'll be back up here in Ottawa without playing a game down there.
Yeah, it's something that I didn't consider when I saw the transaction of Ridly going to being sent back to Belleville. I just assumed he would play. But then to hear that news, I like it. Get him. Those moments and practices are still very important in at his point in his career. And of course, Troy Mann and his staff, how many times have we talked to a player come out of there and the things they've had to say about that staff? Not to mention, I don't know their exact schedule. Like, I don't know if they have a guaranteed skills day, like once or twice a week. But there's value in that for sure. But at the same time, maybe it's a good thing he's not playing in those games to avoid injury, because the way he played through 3 games, I think he's proven that for right now in this small segment that he belongs. The slotting's better. I think everyone would agree that the slotting with the forward group is much better now with him there and Pinto on that third line. It just helps those 2 lines tremendously.
And certainly,
so I like that.
The moves as well with Batherson going down. And
Yeah, you have a top 6 guy really on each line
for
those centers. So it's not like Pinto's playing third line with Joseph and Mott, for example. I like it. For Kastlik, I think he's probably hit a spot where I don't know how much of the injury has played into it or not, but what have we heard from this team? You played all the audio last night, every interview. Intermissions, first intermission, second intermission, post game, leading into the game. What's been the common theme over this stretch here? Playing fast and moving pucks
and possessing pucks, right?
Yeah.
Holding on to pucks a little bit longer.
And whether you like Gambrell or not, I think it's obvious, goes dating back to last year, that there's a trust there that the coaching staff has in him. I think he at this point plays faster than Kastlik, and he's in the right spots. He does a lot of things that coaches like to see. So maybe just refresher for Mark Kastlik, and maybe he can have that reset, refresh, but also gain a bit of confidence back, probably playing in a higher role if he gets into games with Belleville. So those are my thoughts on that, and I fully expect to see Ridly Greig back up here when the break's over. And in terms of just not giving him the break, I'm okay with that because he's had a lot of breaks, right, with injuries. So I'm okay with that as well. As a player, I think maybe you're a little bit disappointed that you come to the NHL, you never want to go back. But I think he's going to be back after the break.
Yeah, certainly looks that way. And he's given this team a breath of fresh air. You can see how much Giroux and DeBrincat love playing with him. They've been outstanding, and Giroux coming off first star of the week. And just smart and competitive, right? Like, those are two really good qualities. Their skills, their skating, there's a lot of different qualities. But when you're smart and you're competitive, people are going to like playing for you and playing with you. And certainly it seems like both of them, and Giroux in particular, really generating some chemistry right off the bat. So Ridly Gregg looks like he's here to stay. And I like the fact that they brought him up and didn't just throw him on the fourth line. And
yeah, they gave him an opportunity.
Yeah. Putting him with good players. Guess what? When you get that opportunity and it works, probably going to stay here, not just because of your own situation, but because those guys are going to want to play with him as well. And that's exactly it. I mean, can you imagine telling Claude Giroux that Ridly Gregg wasn't going to be here the rest of the year? He'd be like, what the hell kind of organization are we? So fantastic when players have your back and players want to play with you. And it certainly seems that's the case when it comes to Ridly Gregg. Great debut for him. I mean, that draft, no matter what else happens from that draft.
Oh, man.
With Stützle and Sanderson and Ridly Gregg trending the way he is, that's going to end up being the best draft. I've looked at every one because I thought, what is the best draft of all time for the Ottawa Senators? And there's no clear-cut number one. There's a lot of decent options. This is going to end up being the clear-cut best draft all time for the Ottawa Senators.
Even beyond that, we'll wait and see what happens with Jarventi being the 33rd pick. Klevin, I would expect to play NHL games for sure, just given his size and shot. Sokolov has played a handful of games. He's had a cup of coffee. We'll yet to determine what his future holds, but there's him. Marilainen could be a goaltender that plays big minutes. And even if you look at their last pick of that draft, I'm not going to go through each one, but Cole Reinhart, he's had a game. And I think when you talk to Troy Mann, we used to do it every Tuesday, the way that he talks about Cole Reinhart, sounds like he could potentially be a guy that has a home on a fourth line or something like that. Not to put a ceiling on a guy, but if you can get a fourth line everyday NHLer out of 180th first overall pick, then not to mention the three first rounders, is a pretty good draft.
Sokolov's an interesting one because I felt like it was trending in a direction before this four-game winning streak that, okay, you know what? Play out these four games, you let him go to the All-Star game, and, you know, after that, get him a good 10 or 15 game run. If they keep winning games here, then it could maybe delay that. We'll wait and see. But I'd love to see him get 10 to 15 games, but at the same time, I'd like to see him get 10 to 15 games with a similar type opportunity that Ridly Gregg is getting, right? Not just throw him on the fourth line and see if you can keep up. If they keep winning games, you're not changing anything from your top three lines. You shouldn't be. So we'll see what happens with Sokolov. But in the meantime, he's had another good season after a slow start in Belleville and will represent the BSNs at the All-Star break as well. I want to ask you about Brad Marchand getting into it with the media. I mean, this is a guy that he just doesn't give a crap in terms of people giving him a hard time and getting into it a little bit today. So maybe you can explain a little bit about the context of the Bruins and Leafs going at it here tonight and what he's been doing going after people like Steve Dangle.
I'll get to that. So it starts with Craig Morgan on the 29th of January.
And Craig Morgan, Arizona beat reporter?
Yes, exactly. And this goes back to, if you missed it, there was a little dust-up between Zegras and Troy Stetcher, and it got really heated. You could tell that Stetcher was really upset about something that was said. So Craig Morgan tweeted that night, "I can confirm via the Coyotes that Anaheim forward Trevor Zegras did not say anything about Troy Stetcher's father during the dust-up last night, but per a team source, he crossed the line with some very inappropriate comments. Stetcher's declined to comment on the topic." So enter Brad Marchand. "Shut your pie hole, Craig." Okay. Then Jacob Stoller, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, who is a writer, podcaster at the Hockey News. Oh, Stoller. He has the pronunciation in his handle. There we go. Jacob Stoller said, "I asked Brad Marchand about this tweet after the morning skate at Scotiabank Arena today. What inclined him to tweet that?" Nothing. "I read the tweet and that's what popped in my head, so I said it." And then Jacob comments, "Weird." So Brad goes at him 4 hours ago. "Sorry, I didn't like my answer, Jacob. Would you like me to say something different so you don't have something so stupid to hang your career on? Great reporting this AM." Then Steve Dangle gets in on it. "That make you feel big? TF is this. Relax." And then this, in my opinion, is the best part of this entire exchange. Marchand responds to Dangle, "Was that your mighty, mighty roar?" And it's an image of Steve Dangle in a Leafs jersey doing some kind of wimpy roar. I think that's the end of it.
So stirring it up.
On a game day in Toronto.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not saying we need more Brad Marchand type personalities, but we need more things that kind of make you get through the 82-game schedule from an interest standpoint, right? The drama that you experience at times in the NFL and the NBA, it's fantastic just for a viewer, right? And look, I get it. If you're in one of those types of locker rooms, like if you're in an NFL locker room, you don't really want the drama, for example, that you see week to week seemingly on a
Actually, there was some crazy NFL drama this week as well. But yeah, continue.
Well, the week-to-week annual drama that we've experienced in Green Bay is a prime example. I'm sure you're a better team with Aaron Rodgers, but I'm sure it's probably one of those things that coaches and management just roll their eyes about because it's like, oh man, are we in the news again? But for fans, it's awesome. And so when it comes to this, I'm sure there's probably Jim Montgomery and maybe even other Bruins rolling their eyes about this. But this probably makes some people that might be on the fence about watching tonight's game say, you know what? I'm going to watch the Bruins and Leafs tonight. I want to see what's going to happen. He seems to be in a spicy mood lately, Brad Marchand. You never know what's going to happen. So I think this type of thing is good for the sport. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's it's real good. I just hope I'm never on the other end of a Brad Marchand tweet.
Well, as Lever Sage likes to say, right?
Not on Twitter, he doesn't.
But on the air. Sports needs villains. Sports is better when you've got villains. For some, I never had Tom Brady as a villain, but for some, Tom Brady was an easy guy to root for, and for some, Tom Brady was an easy guy to root against as well. And that's a good thing because that means you're probably going to be watching on Sunday. When it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, right, There's no in-between. And guess what? When the Dallas Cowboys are playing, there's a lot of people watching because there's a lot of people cheering for them. There's a lot of people cheering against them. To have people like Brad Marchand doing his thing as well, I think it's good for the sport. It's good not to have just 20 guys all saying the same thing, pucks in deep.
Oh, it's incredible. It's awesome. Never change, Brad. You tone down the licking a little bit, I guess, maybe, but other than that, keep it going.
Bruins Leafs tonight.
Was that, who's the player? I know someone will, a fan will text in, or Chris Stevenson or something. In Ottawa, Marchand toe-drag somebody and scored, and it's probably a game-winning goal. And the quote post-game, like, well, take us through your game-winning goal. He reached, I teach.
See, I'm drawing a blank on that one as well.
I remember the quote. I just don't remember the scenario.
Yeah. On that note, we'll take a break. You can text us at 12-1200 where standard messaging rates apply. AJ Creature, Cam Clement, this is The Drive on TSN 1200. The Drive on TSN 1200, AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Cam Clement, who I didn't even realize until about half an hour ago, but Cam, you've been playing theme music today, apparently.
An ode to the GOAT. Yes, yes. Wishing Tom Brady a farewell.
Love it. I don't really love a lot of the tunes today, but you know what? That's okay.
Yeah, to each their own.
At least there's a theme to it. Let's get to some texts at 12-1200, where standard messaging rates apply. Curious to see what you think, AJ. Is this a sign for the CSA to get their heads out of the rear ends, or is this something that got blown way out of proportion? I think whenever there's smoke, there's fire, right? I mean, this, it's so hard to know what's going on the inside, but I would have to think, all things being equal, if you're John Herdman, who, by the way, did decide after the reports that indicated that could be going to New Zealand to coach their men's national team. He reaffirmed his commitment to Canada today, saying he's going nowhere. It's so hard to know the ins and outs, but as long as there's a cloud over Canada soccer, and there continues to be a cloud because they haven't sorted out the deal with the men or the women in terms of financially compensating them, you'd have to think his situation is probably one where he's trying to use some leverage to get some things that are going to be better, not just for himself, but for the entire program as well. But the opportunities for him, I mean, if he goes back to New Zealand, I get there's a family aspect there. But if he goes and coaches that team, you're talking about a population that's about 20% what Canada's is. Like Canada, the number one sport is not soccer. But unlike Canada, they do not have a golden generation of players on hand, nor are they hosting a World Cup in 3 years. So there's no comparison. It would be a step down to go from Canada to New Zealand if he were to take that job. I think it's probably trying to be a bit of a wake-up call here, but I don't have all the inside information. Dave says you see Kyle Larin's extra time goal with his new club. Really excited to see how Canadian players get newly deserved recognition on these international clubs. World Cup may not have turned out how we wanted, but it did put a focus on our players for the first time in forever. Yeah, Larin scored in La Liga on the weekend for Real Valladolid. And just important that they're playing. That's the key. He wasn't playing at Bruges. Bruges is round of 16 in the Champions League, and Tejan Buchanan is there, and that's going to start up this month again. If you're not playing, even if you're at a good team, it's not good for your career. So I'm glad he's back and playing, and great to see him score. First Canadian to score in La Liga since, can you name the last Canadian to score in La Liga? has a local tie.
Christian de Guzman?
Julian de Guzman. Julian de Guzman? Yeah.
What did I say? Christian?
Yeah. All good.
My bad. That's not good. I wasn't expecting soccer trivia, so that's my excuse.
Figured I'd just ask.
Yeah.
Julian de Guzman.
I apologize for butchering his first name. I don't know what I was thinking.
One more soccer one. I really doubt they would go a different direction, even if they don't play well at Copa America. Herdman has shown he can progress programs for the long term. From Centertown, Nick. Nick, we're in the big leagues now. So, need some progress. Need to show at Copa America. Can't go to Copa America. I don't care what type of group we get, and we're not going to get a group as tough as we did at the World Cup. But it's probably going to be something like the toughest group we would get at Copa America would be something along the lines of Brazil, Colombia, and Panama. I'd expect you to lose the game against Brazil. I'd want probably 4 points out of the other two games. I'd want to beat Panama. I'd want minimum a draw against Colombia. To me, you need to show some progress. And it doesn't have to be tangible progress in terms of you have to reach this. You have to reach the quarterfinals. You have to show that you've improved from 2022. That to me is what it's all about. It's the same when you're talking about the Ottawa Senators, right? Like when you talk about DJ Smith and the management team with new ownership. At the bare minimum, if you're a prospective owner of the Ottawa Senators and you're watching from afar, it might not be playoffs or bust, right? Playoffs or we're cleaning house. But you better show some progress here over the course of the last 32 games of the season. Like if this team is 75 points again, they're going to be saying, that's not good enough. We need to bring in our own guys. And same thing for Canada. If they go there and make up the numbers and lose three close games with the talent that we have right now, that wouldn't be good enough. You need to show at least tangible progress at Copa America in 2024. First and foremost, you have to qualify. They do have to qualify. And then, same thing. You need to show something because there's going to be potential coaches like Carlo Ancelotti out there just to manage the tournament. Morocco went on their big run. Their coach, who was their same coach from 2018 in Russia, they had a pretty decent World Cup in 2018. Morocco did, in a tough group that included Spain and Portugal and Iran, but they finished with 1 point. Okay, that's fine. Then they got to 2022, 4 months out from the tournament. Coach was beefing with one of the top players, Ziyech, and they just hadn't shown enough progress. They canned the coach. Guess what? They went on a run. So, again, it's not make the finals or bust at Copa America. I mean, it's a different level for sure, but there has to be progress because this is going to be the biggest moment in Canadian men's soccer history. We are hosting the World Cup. This is an opportunity unlike any other for the sport. It's a chance to really grow the game over the course of the next 3 years and then beyond that. And with hosting comes the advantage of being seated as a number one. They're going to be in pot one with the United States, with Mexico. So you're not going to get a Brazil or an Argentina or a France or an England. You're going to get a group that you should be able to progress out of. It's an opportunity, and you can't just say, well, Herdman's done great things. He should automatically be the guy. I like the fact that Herdman is getting the opportunity, but he has to continue to show that he's taking this group beyond where he's already taken them. That's my sense. I mean, I think in anything, you just want to always see progress, right? And it might not come at the level that you want in terms of nothing's ever in a straight line. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be peaks and valleys. But there has to be at least some sort of sign between now and 2026 that they're going in the right direction. Just like Creature with the Ottawa Senators. There's got to be some signs between now and the end of the season. Ownership, I mean, we don't know when it's going to be changed here in Ottawa. Here in maybe it's April. But it's probably not going to happen in the next few weeks, I'll tell you that. So if it's April or May or June or whatever, again, all these prospective owners have the opportunity to sit back and say, okay, is there tangible progress? Is there something where it looks like they're building and we can continue to build on that? And that's why I think, like, for this coaching staff, for the management team, for the players, for everyone, right? These last 32 games are an opportunity to show that, yeah, we've got the right people in place here.
Totally agree on all those points. My one fear then, we haven't touched on this yet today, but there's been plenty of speculation, both on Twitter, on insider trading, when discussing the intermissions last night. I know you were hosting your own intermission, but the possibility of Pierre Dorion being a buyer at this deadline. That's the one thing I don't want to see. If you go on a tear and maybe there's a little thing that you can do that's not costing you a major piece, just to give your group a push and show confidence, or maybe that move is just not trading some of your UFAs or whatever. But I just don't want to see a big move that doesn't necessarily fit long-term to try to get that push to happen this year. That's the one thing I don't want to see.
Yeah, I think, again, I'd be curious to know if when Pierre Dorion made those comments about possibly being a buyer, how much of that was intended for the room and not the audience, yeah. Right? Just internally. Because Claude Giroux doesn't care about the future, right? I mean, they do. Everyone's going to care about legacy and all that type of stuff. But the guys, Thomas Chabot and Brady Tkachuk, and they want to win now.
Mm-hmm.
And so just that shot in the arm to say, hey, you know what? If we hang around, if we win some games, I'm going to add the pieces that you in the room want to help you guys this year. I'm okay with that. If they get to 3 or 4 points out, I'm okay with adding a little bit.
That's what I said, a little bit.
Yeah. Do I want to give up an unprotected first or anything like that? It better be a player that you can sign long-term, like the Islanders think with Bo Horvat, that's going to help you down the road as well. But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world just to have the mentality that you might end up buying a little bit. What if you get to a certain point and they're not there yet?
What do you think happens between the pipes if, I know Dreg's on the pregame show last night saying 3 or 4 week injury for Cam Talbot.
Yeah.
Do you just kind of run Anton Forsberg and recall a Sogard again? Do you look for some depth between the pipes where you could throw a guy in there on a waiver wire or something?
If you could get another Hellberg, that would be
best
case scenario, right? Somebody that can the one thing about their schedule, and again, the next 16 games, they play a lot of teams below the cut line. The last 16 games, they play a lot of teams above the cut line. So it's a lot easier in the next 16 games than it is the following 16, but there are a lot of back-to-backs coming up.
Yeah.
And so, not that Anton Forsberg is incapable of doing back-to-backs. We saw on the weekend, absolutely.
And his comments after that. Like, yeah, there's no reason why we shouldn't. I feel like I'm still in the game, and the players do it. It should be an easier job for me, but that ends up being a big workload.
it adds up, right? Yeah. It's not about one back-to-back or two back-to-backs. When you look at the schedule just in February alone, they play the Flames and Islanders back-to-back, then the Blues and the Bruins, then the Hurricanes and the Sens, and then the Red Wings back-to-back at home. So that's four. And again, doesn't mean you have to go to a Mads Søgaard four times. But you'd like to have somebody, like in a perfect world, you'd love to just keep playing Søgaard in the AHL. And if you could get a Hellberg, someone of that ilk, just to help you through the next month, right? Until Talbot is back. But maybe Mads Søgaard is ready. But if he's not ready and all that pressure is on one guy to carry it, especially through so many back-to-backs, it's not ideal. And he's not going to be at his best. You want him to be at his best each and every night.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean, again, you've got, that's 10 games and four back-to-backs. I'm not even suggesting it's 6-4, but ideally you'd probably like, what, 8-2? Have him do a couple of back-to-backs? That game in Boston feels like you play, that feels like a game tailor-made for a Søgaard, right? You hope to beat the Blues at home, and then you say, okay, you know what, Mads?
Schedule a loss here.
You're going in Boston. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah.
See what you can do against the Bruins, right? I think that's one where a lot of times the guys really rally around.
And they played Boston well this year.
They have. A lot of different things you can do. All right, we'll take another break, read a handful of texts on the other side, and then we'll call her a day. AJ Creature, Cam Clement. It's The Drive on TSN 1200. It's The Drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Cam Clement. Saying goodbye to Tom. Joe, the Leafs fan, is in. Leafs 5-1 tonight. Statement game begins the inevitable first seed takeover.
Come on, Joe.
Joe.
I think Joe's having fun with you there. I think that's what's happening. He's comparing them taking over the first to you saying Sens are a playoff team. Plan the parade.
I haven't said they're a playoff team at all.
Well, according to Joe. And his texts, his 50,000 texts. I think that's what he's doing. He's taking shots at AJ. I'm calling it.
I feel Buffalo's going to make the playoffs. So I feel like there's one more spot for Pittsburgh or Washington or someone like Islanders or a Florida or an Ottawa to jump up and get it. In the end, I'll bet on Crosby. I'll bet on Pittsburgh. Like, that's the two teams, percentage-wise, that are in the two spots right now, and that's Pittsburgh and Buffalo, are the two teams that I think are going to stay there. But it is interesting. It's a lot more interesting in the East than it was last year, where it was all about seeding and there was no playoff race to speak of. Leafs are 11 back, and they've played one more game. That would be a hard no, Joe. You'll be judged on what you do in the playoffs, though. You'll be judged by how you do against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then maybe you can get a Rouge on the board post-2005. When, of course, the lockout ended, and right now it's 7-0. In terms of playoff series wins. You got to get the one on the board. I mean, how tough is it to get a Rouge?
That's how you end a show, AJ. You know what? Speaking of firing at other fan bases, can you imagine last night the reaction from the national media had Ottawa had that many empty seats for a game? seen it in the past. I didn't see anyone talking about empty seats in Montreal last night.
What was the crowd last night?
I don't know the numbers, but there was a lot of empty seats, especially in that lower bowl. Tons of them. That's all I noticed. You dress up as a seat night. The Bell Center. Is Montreal a hockey market? Of course it is. I'm just having fun. But that's all we've heard here. It's all this fan base has heard, especially considering the circumstances at times. Come on now.
This is basically your last chance.
Attendance 21,105 on listed. It definitely wasn't that.
For Joe and all the other people that love crapping on the Sens and whatever attendance was like, saw a video today of Ryan Reynolds. He stopped by Seneca College, was doing a tour, and basically was hanging out with the students. And everything he touches goes to gold. He's got that Midas touch. As Nate Behar said earlier this week, he's got that high EQ. He just gets it. I really think so many positive things are going to happen here once there's new ownership. And it's not like it's rock bottom. It's not like it's a tire fire. It's not like it's Vancouver. It's not like how it was 4 or 5 years ago. There's something to build on, and I feel like something special is going to happen here. We'll end the Wednesday edition of The Drive that way. Creature, always a pleasure. Cam Clement, always a great job from you.
Thanks, AJ. I'll try to lift your spirits more with some tunes that kind of
energy
suit you better.
No, it doesn't have to be about me.
Energy. AJ wants some energy. Who are you with tomorrow? Christopher John?
CJ. So it doesn't have to be hard rock. It can be just anything with some energy.
Chili's.
You know the Chili's are banned
back
from this show.
That'll bring some energy, guaranteed.
We did play David Wilcox last week when Lee was away. All right, time to go. Thanks, Cam. Thanks, Creech.
Thanks, fellas.
And to all the good listeners out there, be safe and have a great Wednesday.